Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Tuesday, 20th October 2020, and we shall continue with our sharing of the Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at Appendix 5, page 241. This Appendix 5, the title is The Ten Dhammarayana. So this is the Mahayana's version of the complete cosmology, the Buddhist cosmology. This one includes the rhymes of the enlightened beings, or they call it the Sishli Dhamma rhyme, means the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, the conditioned enlightened one, and the song hearer. So I will elaborate on all this. So this four plus the six are the six type of mundane Dhamma rhyme, or they call it the Liu Fan, Liu Tao Lun Hui. So this six mundane Dhamma rhyme, they are the same as the Theravada's 31 plane of existence. So the only difference is they add in the four type of Sishli Dhamma rhyme, or the Dhamma rhymes of the enlightened beings. After I will explain the whole thing, then you will understand. Before we commence the sharing, we shall have our usual half an hour of meditation, awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind completely, be at ease. Then maintain awareness. So this first two support is very important. The third support is maintain this awareness for as long as you can. Technically it's 24 hours. So the first three of the four support is very important. The last one, you will only need to use it later, trust. When you are already very stable in your ability to be aware, to be mindful, then you already stabilize your mindfulness. During that time, you don't use your thought process anymore. You just relax, maintain awareness, and let the nature do whatever it wants to do. That is what trust is all about. It's trust your nature to develop the meditation and the understanding. No need to direct it, no thought involved. So that one later only you need to do. So initially just relax every aspect of body and mind, relax into it. To be relaxed means to be free of all things, to be without problem, to be at ease, just silent. No need to do anything. So relax, aware. When you are silent, you are already aware. When you don't have thought, you're already aware. The moment thought arises, you become distracted. You become like heedless, lost in thought. That's why you cannot meditate. Thought starts to arise and become active. When you are actively thinking, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be aware. So without thought, you are already aware. That is the fundamental understanding. Therefore, to meditate is to silence. No need to arise any thought. Just let things be. Whatever that arise, let it arise. If you do not give it any more thought energy or meaning, it will slow down, it will subside, and it will cease. That's what meditation is all about. Just relax, maintain awareness. Then let things be. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just silent. And develop the awareness so that you can be aware of that nature within, the awareness nature. That is your true mind. That is your silent mind. That is your meditative mind. That is the mind that can meditate. That one is the unconditioned, It's just aware. Today's topic is a continuation from Appendix 4. Appendix 4, we did the 31 plane of existence, which is the cosmology of the Buddhist teaching. All the realms of existence that living beings can take birth in, they are classified under the 31 plane of existence. So these are mundane realms. So 31, in the sense that we have broken them into the three type of existence. First is the formless realm, where there is no physical form. There are four realms. Then there is 16 realms, or Brahma realms, or the form realm, where there is physical form, but there is no sensuality. Then finally is the sensual realm, Kamaloka. The form realm is called Rupaloka. Then the formless realm is called Arupaloka. So 4 plus 16 is 20. Then down there we have another 11, the sensual realm. That's how it becomes 31. So within the sensual realm, we have the 6 heavenly realm. They call it the heavens. Then you have the human realm. Then after that, there are 4 more. We call it the wufu realm. 4 plus 1 plus 6 is 11. So 11 plus 14 plus 6 is 31. But today, under Appendix 5, we have the 10 Dhamma rhyme as described by the Mahayanas. This classification is more complete because it includes the 4 sagely rhyme or Dhamma rhymes of enlightened beings. Whereas the 31 plane of existence, they actually are the mundane rhyme, because when you take birth there, you will still have to come back for rebirth until you attain enlightenment. At least Arahant and beyond, then you may not have to come back to the 31 plane. Unless you take the Bodhisattva way, then you come back without ignorance. You come back with a pure mind. Pure mind that has only love and compassion, coupled with the 4 basic vows of the Bodhisattvas. It is this vow and the pure mind that can condition future rebirth. So this classification of the Mahayana is actually more interesting and is more complete. So I will slowly explain to you. You look at the Appendix 5, you can see them. The 10 Dhamma rhyme in bracket is the Mandarin pronunciation. My pronunciation not that accurate. And the first 4 rhyme are the 4 types of sagely Dhamma rhyme. So this sagely Dhamma rhyme are the rhymes of the enlightened beings, and they are very unique. The Mandarin word in bracket is what? Si what? Si sheng, sheng ren, si sheng, means the enlightened beings. Mm. So the first rhyme is the rhyme of the Buddhas, Sammasambuddhas. In Mandarin, they call it Zhu Fo Fa Jie. So these are the rhyme of Sammasambuddha. They have developed the cultivation and perfection. They have fully perfected the enlightenment, means they have cultivated the 10 perfections and prajnaparamitas needed to become Sammasambuddha. So this Buddha rhyme, there are many explanations to it. The rhyme of the Buddha means it's not only Buddha exists, it is their nature, the Buddha nature of all these Sammasambuddha. They are covered under this rhyme, the rhyme of Sammasambuddhas. Hmm. But there are also Sammasambuddha that take birth as human beings. So this one is with the form and mind. So this one is also covered under the rhyme of the Buddhas, but they have a different entity where they can actually take birth within the human rhyme of the 31 plane of existence. But because after they connect and become fully enlightened, they become Sammasambuddha after that. And then when they are fully enlightened, they connect back to the spiritual nature, then it will come forth and transform them into Sammasambuddha. So that one, the Sammasambuddha has a form and mind, has a segmented human body and mind. So that one is the five aggregate, the functional body that perform the function of a Sammasambuddha. Then underneath the Bodhi tree, when he gained enlightenment, his spiritual nature comes around and actually combine with the Nimanakaya. The Nimanakaya is the functional body. The spiritual nature is the Sambhogaya Kaya. So when the nature connects through, he inherited the Sambhogaya Kaya, all of his perfection, wisdom, cultivation and understanding, they will come back to him. Then he become the Sammasambuddha. That's why it transformed him into a transformation body where they call it the Dhammakaya, the Dhamma body that speaks the Dhamma, that proclaims the Dhamma and shares the teaching. So that's how they become Sammasambuddha. And Sammasambuddha has their own unique causes and conditions, because all Sammasambuddha are very different. The Mahayana have their own Sammasambuddha which are very different, but their cultivation and perfection are very extensive, especially those of Amitabha Buddha. Yes, they go through fate and took them very long, 12 world cycles. Whereas the wisdom way that Sakyamuni Buddha take actually is only about 1/3, almost 4 world cycle. Then if you go using Virya, then it will be approximately about 8 world cycle for you to perfect to become a Sammasambuddha. So that is the rough guide. So this first rhyme, Zhu Fo Fa Jie, is called the Dhamma rhyme of the Sammasambuddha. So this one I think is quite easy to understand. Then we have another rhyme, the second rhyme, Pu Sa Fa Jie. Pu Sa is Bodhisattva. These are the rhymes of the Bodhisattvas. So these Bodhisattvas, they can take birth in many forms. Sometimes as human, sometimes as devas, sometimes as Brahmas. And sometimes also as what they call other realms of existence like pure land and all those things. So not necessarily limited to the 31 plane of existence. And these are bodhisattvas who actually took the vow, the four basic vow of the bodhisattva, to walk this path to become Sammasambuddha. So bodhisattvas are beings that took the bodhisattva vows to aspire for Buddhahood, Sammasambuddhahood. So they are in the second Seshli realm, called the realm of bodhisattvas. So they cultivate the 10 perfection in the Prajna Paramata, Paramita wisdom, the perfection of wisdom, to realize Samyak Sambodhi or Sammasambuddhahood and ultimate Nibbana. Then there is another Seshli rhyme, the third one. They call it the rhyme or the conditioned enlightened one. Yan Jie Fa Jie. So these are the conditioned enlightened ones. They enlighten not to the Four Noble Truths. They enlighten to the law of dependent origination. Means they contemplated the nature. Then they realized that everything is dependent originating, condition arising. So they realized the Dhamma through contemplation on the conditioned enlightened ones. Means through understanding the dwelling of Paticca Samuppada. So during the arising of a conditioned enlightened one, or they call it the Yan Jie Fa Jie, Dhamma may or may not be present. Sometimes there is no sasana. But these are the bodhisattvas that no need the Four Noble Truths to gain enlightenment. Because most of the time, there is no sasana, because the period between sasana and non-sasana, they are very, very long. So sasana, when they arise, is only a very minute window. Like our Sakyamuni Buddha, sasana is only 5,000 years. Whereas the non-sasana period can be aeons. So sometimes one whole great aeons, there may not be any Sammasambuddha. Sometimes there may be one. Then like our earth, Jambuwapi, we are more fortunate because it seems we will have four. And Sakyamuni Buddha is the third. Then there is another one, Maitreya Buddha. After that, it seems our world system will end. So this rhyme of the conditioned enlightened ones, they are very rare, very rare. But most bodhisattva, if they walk that way, they can actually bypass the conditioned enlightened ones. These conditioned enlightened ones are more like the sainthood way, but they enlighten not through hearing the Four Noble Truths. They enlighten through contemplating the nature and realize the law of dependent origination. So these are beings that got self-enlightened via realization of the 12 links of Paticca Samuppada. So this Paticca Samuppada, or the 12 link, means the law of dependent origination, is very powerful, very important. And it can be realized because even without the Sammasambuddha Sasana, without the Four Noble Truths being proclaimed, If you meditate on your own, you can realize that well, everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. So in this rhyme, most of the time they are called Pacheka Buddhas, or they use the word, the English translation, which is not so appropriate. They call them the Silent Buddha. And the reason why they call them the Silent Buddha is, well, most people interpret it wrongly. They say this type of Pacheka Buddha, they cannot teach. Actually, I don't agree with that expression or that explanation, because Pacheka Buddha, when they become enlightened, they definitely can teach. But the reason why they call them Pacheka or Silent Buddha is because there is no sasana for them. They are not Samasambuddha, so they don't have a sasana, and they don't know the Four Noble Truths. So they only teach in accordance with their understanding, their capacity to understand, and they can still teach. So hopefully this one will make it clear. So when there is no proclamation of truth, like the Four Noble Truths by a Samasambuddha, then they call them the Pacheka Buddha or Silent Buddha. Then finally, the most popular rhyme is the fourth Seshli rhyme, the rhyme of sound hearer, or they call them the Savaka. Savaka. Sound hearer means when the Buddha Sasana is present, then they cultivate the Buddha Dharma. We are hearing the Four Noble Truths, then they awaken to it. So these are the four pairs of enlightened Aryas or individual, namely the four type of saints. First stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, third stage of sainthood, and the fourth stage of sainthood, which is an arahant. So the first stage is called a sotapan. The second stage is called Sakadagami. Third stage is Anagami. And the fourth stage is an Arahant. So these are all Aryas, enlightened beings. But they may not be Bodhisattva yet because they haven't taken the vow. Unless they take the vow, then they can become Bodhisattvas. Then sometime when they become Aryas, then after that, the future birth, they may not have a chance to be born during Sasana period. So what happened is they will reach the third Seshli rhyme to become Pacheka Buddhas. So this is how the four Seshli rhyme actually come about. Under the Mahayana explanation, they call this sound hearer or Savaka, the rhyme of the sound hearer, as Sen Wen Fa Jie, means they listen to the proclamation of the Four Noble Truths, then they awaken or enlighten to it. So these are the four Seshli rhyme above. I will indicate. First, rhyme of the Buddha, then rhyme of the Bodhisattva, then rhyme of the conditioned enlightened one, and fourth is the rhyme of the sound hearer or the Savaka, means the sainthood way, the four pair of sainthood beings. And then down there we have the sixth type of mundane Dhamma rhyme, Liu Fan, and Mahayana call it Liu Tao Lun Hui, means you continue to evolve around the sixth rhyme. These are the 31 plane. As long as you are not enlightened, you have not realized arahantship and beyond, you cannot get out of the 31 plane or this six mundane rhyme. So this six mundane rhyme Namandeva Namarang, the Mahayana actually group all of the Devarayam together with the Brahmarayam as one heavenly rhyme, Tianren Fa Jian. So the fifth Dhammarayam is called the heavenly rhyme of Devas and Brahmas. So Tianren Fa Jian. They have this characteristic of being a happy rhyme. Kama Sukati Bumi. So these are the happy rhymes. They include the formless rhyme, the form rhyme, and some of the what they call sensual rhyme. Under happy rhyme, ye mandri word, hamit san hamit. Oh, san tao. Oh, okay, happy rhyme, san. Okay, which means these are the rhyme where the beings that take birth there, they have this parami, or what they call merits. So you look at the next two, this one arrow indicate increasing degree of virtue to ascend to the higher rhyme. So if you want to ascend to the higher rhyme, you need to cultivate virtue, blessings and wisdom. Then for those who are heedless, if you don't cultivate anything, you allow yourself to be heedless, then you will fall. So descending from the upper heavenly rhyme and Brahma rhyme down to the lower rhyme due to increasing degree of greed, hatred and delusion means the lack of wisdom, lack of virtue, wisdom and wholesomeness. But the seventh rhyme, the rhyme of the asuras or the demons, the Mahayana classified them under the happy rhyme, but the Theravada classified them under the woeful state. So the sixth rhyme is rhyme of the human being, Zhen Tao Fa Jie. So this is where humans take birth, like our planet. Then the rhyme of the asura and the demons, they are a separate rhyme. Then under number eight, you have the rhyme of animals. Chu Shen Fa Jie. Under the woeful state, ye mandri what's it? San E Tao. That means the evil rhyme, woeful rhyme or evil rhyme. Then from the animal rhymes, these are the beings that are born due to heavy delusion, ignorant. So when they have this evil roots of delusion very strong, they will normally be born in this rhyme, the animal rhymes. Then there is another rhyme called Hungry Ghost or Peta rhyme. So these are the Er Kui Fa Jian. So this one is due to their greed. They are born into this rhyme mainly due to their greed. Then the Asura are mainly born into the rhyme of the Asura because of hatred. The evil roots of hatred is very strong. Then we go on to the last. The last one is the rhyme of hell beings, Kama Dukati, the suffering rhyme, Ti Fa Jie. Beings that are born into this rhyme, they have all the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So this is where you should avoid. The hell rhyme is in fact the worst. The hell rhyme, a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. Like the last Thursday class, I think we have gone through. Then under the note, you can see per Mahayana, Asura are classified under the happy rhyme of Kama Sukati Bumi. They have blessings, but they also have evil roots of hatred. Hence the reason why they are very competitive in nature. Whereas, as per the Theravada tradition, Asura are grouped under Wufu state or Kamadukati Bhumi. So that's the only difference between Mahayana and Theravada. So basically, they are the same, except Mahayana expanded on the cosmology to include the four sagely rhyme. Then they summarize them into the 10 Dhamma rhyme, which is a better way of classification and division. So I find the 10 Dhamma rhyme classification a lot more meaningful, as it includes the sagely rhyme. But for Theravada, I understand why they didn't include the four sagely rhyme is because they only know about the rhyme of the sound hearers, and they heard of Samasambuddha, but they are seldom taught about the Bodhisattva way. Pacheka Buddha also mentioned on it, but not elaborated in the teaching. That's why the four sagely rhyme, they are only extensively shared and taught under the Mahayana tradition. So that could be the reason why the Mahayana cosmology is more inclusive and extensive. Okay, we finish. Okay, we are still early. So we can continue one more. Appendix 6, turn the page 243. Well, this appendix 6 is very important, very, very important. I have to really go into it again with you all, so that hopefully you all can develop the good understanding. Appendix 6 is about training the mind, how you develop the training of the mind, how you develop the meditation, how you realize enlightenment. Training the mind via understanding the essential Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. So in bracket, these are notes compiled mainly from the various Dhamma talk or sharing given by Brother Teo at Tiratana Buddhist Society, Klang, on the 20th of June 2014. Thursday class, especially the one held at Brother Suyan's house on the 10th of July 2014, and the March 2014 Cameron Highland retreat at Sampo Temple. So that year, 2014, a lot of this teaching came out, because at that time I realized a lot of the essential Dhamma, they are not properly classified. They are like separate teaching all over. So even when you link them, you cannot really go into the various type of teachings that explain to you how to develop the meditation and how to train the mind to develop the meditation. That's why in all those sharing, I actually did a lot of explanation. Then they become notes. Somebody took the notes and we transcribe it out, and it become what it is. Then under Appendix 6A, Trinity to Understand Cultivation. So this one is the diagram that I came out with. I reflected, contemplated, and I came out with this diagram, which is very beautiful. In fact, I was very surprised that teaching of pure consciousness and awareness can be nicely summarized with a triangle. And to describe a triangle, I choose this word Trinity because it consists of three angles. But please don't confuse with the Christianity type of Trinity. Theirs is different. Ours is purely because I use that triangle to actually explain the whole understanding of our nature. So you look at a triangle, the top effect, you have a C. I introduce a C there. So this one stands for pure consciousness, or the pure awareness nature, the oneness nature. Okay. So you can call it by various names, because a lot of people do not understand what that thing is. Seldom do you have a cultivator who can understand what that thing is. So they use so many words, so many names, but hardly anybody understands. So I'm going to describe to you. Basically, this is the pure nature. Each and every living being, they have this pure nature within. We call it the pure consciousness or pure awareness nature or the oneness nature. Then you can also describe it as the true nature or the original nature that the Mahayana always use. The original nature or true nature. And it's also the essence of mind, means the true mind, the true nature, the essence. That it is also called the unconditioned, because it is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond time, and beyond mind. Then it cannot be perceived or sensed, but this one is a nature, it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It's not like the form and mind, which is dependent, originating, condition arising, karmically conditioned out to the karmic nature. This one existed. Originally, it was like that. So there was no beginning. And this nature was not born. If it's not born, it doesn't get old, doesn't get sick, and doesn't die. Yeah, it's unconditioned. And because of that, it is very unique. That's why it cannot be perceived or sensed. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the senses. It's the unconditioned. Then you can describe it through a word, which is very good. We call it stillness. Well, its characteristic, its nature, its stillness. There is without thought, it's the unconditioned. There is nothing inside there, but there is just an awareness nature. The awareness nature is also the pure nature, the oneness nature. And when it comes to meditation, we call it the silent mind or the meditative mind. That's why you have to go to that nature to start meditation. And Hui Ning call it the nature of no thought. You have to start with no thought. That's why you have to go to that nature. Without realizing that pure nature, the true mind, or the pure awareness nature, you cannot meditate. We are only that one can understand and awaken. Yeah, that one is beyond thought, beyond mind. And the Dhamma we are trying to develop is, according to the Buddha, akaliko. Means this one is beyond thought, beyond mind, akaliko. Then sanditiko can be realized in the here and the now. So all this are the important understanding of the teaching. And from the essential Dhamma, we can actually derive all this understanding. That's why when we chant the salutation to the Dhamma, it's very beautiful. The Buddha says, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. He said, this Dhamma is well expounded by the Buddha. And what are the characteristics of this Dhamma? He said, this Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now before you die. Then this Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time, timeless. Then this Dhamma can be investigated into ehipasiko, because it stands up to investigation. It is the truth, therefore it will stand up to investigation. Then this Dhamma is also sandhitic, sorry, pajetang, veditatmo, vinohiti. So sandhitiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, then pajetang. Pajetang means this Dhamma can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Nobody else can understand this teaching. That's why you need to be enlightened. That's why the form and mind that awaken will understand this teaching, because it's connected to that form and mind that awaken to it. So you need to have the condition to enlighten to it, to awaken to it. You have to sever all the 10 fetters. If you go through the sainthood way, then it means in stages you sever the fetters. But for you to realize at least arahantship, you have to really root out the 10 fetters, including ignorance, which is the final one. So this understanding of the pure nature or the pure consciousness up there is very important. From there, living being manifests. Then how do we take birth? How do we arise? This triangle can explain. If you look at the green color within the triangle, I put it as the totality. Totality means the world of awareness, means this oneness nature is just awareness. That is the totality of awareness. Then you can move in two directions. One is the right hand side direction, this arrow, this right hand side arrow. Okay? This one, as explained, is to create mundane living or experiences. This one, you need the karmic nature to give rise to a 5 aggregate of form and mind. So this 5 aggregate of form and mind is here. So this 5 aggregate of form and mind is where birth comes about through karmic nature. The karmic nature condition a segmented life, a 5 aggregate of form and mind, which is a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world. So this one is within the existential world. So this one is mundane living, mundane experience, mundane existence. So here, instead of using the consciousness in its pure manner, you use it to create mundane thinking. That's why here you have mundane thinking. When you use consciousness for mundane thinking, you are being mundane, very elementary, very underdeveloped, because we only know how to arise the egoic mind, which is our thought process, the mundane thinking. So this mundane thinking can also give rise to mundane thought consciousness. Here we have the senses. That's why this S here represents our senses within the 5 aggregate of form and mind. So because of the senses, upon contact, it triggers off sense door consciousness. We have the 6 sense door, 5 physical senses, and the brain become our 6 sense door, which create thoughts, because brain is memory and thought is respond to memory. That's how the thought consciousness come about. So this 6 sense door trigger on the respective 6 type of mundane consciousness. And that's how we know the world. That's how we interact with the world. That's how we arise. Then through delusion, we grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that we exist, we are real. That's how delusion set in. Sakkaya ditti, self-delusion. So the sense bases, they are within our physical body or physical form. So sense bases plus the consciousness trapped inside our body, they trigger off the mundane consciousness and the mundane thought process or thinking. That's how you function as a human being. That's how you arise. That's what that human being is all about. Segmented life is all about. Then through that, we live life, believing that our only instrument to live life is the thought process. But we fail to understand we have another nature, which is the pure awareness nature, the sea out there. So this pure awareness nature is the mystery, is the one that you need to develop the understanding through meditation. So this pure awareness or pure consciousness or the awareness nature is the one that you have to realize for you to start meditation. That's why we need to silence everything, relax and maintain awareness to realize this silent mind, true mind, the meditative mind. And this mind, because it's the unconditioned, without thought, without the mundane thinking, that nature appears. So this is the secret to meditation. If you want to meditate, cease all thought. Don't think. Let things be. That's why let the whatever mundane thinking or heedless thinking continue. Because they are dependent originating condition arising. So let it flower and let it cease. Then silence your mind, relax, maintain awareness to realize that pure awareness nature, that silent mind, that true mind, that stillness, that tranquility, that meditative mind. So this is meditation. So understand this. Then when you are able to realize that pure nature, that awareness nature, or that silent mind, then you can meditate. Then from there, you do not use thought anymore. You use it for direct seeing. You use it to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to develop the wisdom, the understanding. You use it to observe life, to observe whatever that arises and pass away, to realize the dwelling, paticca samuppada, dependent origination. Yeah. So all this understanding, you have to move towards the right hand side. So the right hand side is this one. Oh, sorry, left hand side. Huh? The left hand side is the arrow pointing downward towards the you. So this you is understanding or wisdom. Yeah? So if you use your pure awareness, you are not using it to create mundane thinking and sense or consciousness. You are using it to develop the meditation. That's why meditation is the silent mind developing the direct seeing via sati or pure awareness. No more thinking, no more thought. That's how you meditate. Do you understand? So hopefully with this explanation, you can develop the understanding. So understanding means wisdom. Wisdom born of samadhi or right view, giving rise to yoniso manasikara, which is wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So this yoniso manasikara or wisdom, they can only arise when the silent mind insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Means impermanent, suffering state, and empty nature or non-self nature. Then the other one is through direct seeing, seeing things as they are, to realize the truth. Then silent, choiceless awareness of the reality means of what is. The reality within the moment, if you silent your mind and don't say anything, just observe, then you will understand. Like I explained in the meditation, if your daily mindfulness is very stable and you can be aware and very sensitive within, then whenever there is any movement or stirring of the mind or reaction to sense experience, you sense it. Immediately you sense it. And through the observation, you realize all this come about because of your wrong view, your self-delusion, your sakyality, your egoic mind that was triggered off due to your self-delusion, your ignorance. Then you believe you exist. You believe you are real. That's how the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion come to be. So when you believe you exist and you are real, there's a personality, there's an ego manifested. So when the ego manifests, the personality manifests, what happens? Then you believe you exist, you are real, then you want to own things, possess things, and have things, and even control things. That's how the selfishness arises. The craving arises, the desire arises, the emotional negativity arises. Then when you cannot get what you want, you get angry, you get emotional. Then when you do not understand, you trigger off fear. That's how the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion they arise, through wrong view, through security. Then you saw through your silent mind, everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. Without cause, nothing arises. That's why you will understand the dwelling. Upon contact, at the moment of sense experience, due to ignorant contact, condition, avijja. So avijja, paccaya, sankara, mental activity, mental thinking. You see that. You see it very clearly. And you will not be deceived by the commentary that tell you the paticca samuppada as explained over the three lifetimes. No more. Because you can understand. So, avijja means ignorance. When you don't understand, one thing to know, one thing to understand, what do you do? You go and think. Where you believe through thinking, you can understand. But the moment you think, you make contact with the brain. So when you make contact with the brain, what happens? Thought consciousness arises. That's why avijja paccaya sankara. Sankara paccaya vijnana. That is thought consciousness. Then you input the content of consciousness and make it namarupam. The five aggregate of form and mind, the mental five aggregate. That's how you fall. That's how the mundane living start. That's how you get yourself entangled. That's how you go to the right hand side and create mundane living and experience. And through ignorance, you continue to be afflicted. You continue to get yourself entangled with samsara. Samsara means the wheel of birth and death. Means you will continue to take endless birth and death within the 31 plane of existence. And you cannot free yourself and root out avijja to actually free the form and mind, to realize the enlightenment so that rebirth is no more, so that you don't have to come back to the suffering world. So samsara is the endless birth and death. We call it the suffering world. So coming back to the left hand side, see to you. This is meditation. That's why silence your mind. Relax, maintain awareness to realize the pure nature within the true mind, the silent mind, the sati, the mindfulness. Then from there, you observe, you insight into phenomena, you develop the direct seeing to develop wisdom and understanding. It is only through this way can you awaken. That's why meditation has to be done with the silent mind. You must realize that nature within. So hopefully with this, you can understand better. Then you have to move downward. Yeah? From this understanding that you have developed means your nature awakened to it. So this understanding is connected to your five aggregate of form and mind. That's why after that, the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being for our case, yeah, or any living being, it will no longer be deluded because of this understanding and wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. At the moment of sense experience, it will spontaneously trigger off, and it will prompt you and let you understand. That's why this is for enlightenment living or true living. So here the word, the arrow down here, is for true living. Yeah? Yeah. It's no more mundane living. This one is for true living, or we call it the third phase of Dhammapattiveda. You can get to live the life of enlightenment, to realize that third phase of Dhamma, which is the most beautiful part of your life. So you can realize that my nature rejoices with you, and you will be a blessing to all. So this is how the whole of creation, meditation, training of the mind is to be understood. So look at the diagram, how amazing it can be. Just one triangle can explain everything. At first I thought it was impossible. Then later on I realized that Trinity drawing is really beautiful. And all this understanding I evolved out myself after I realized what that thing is. That's why this teaching, you can go and look around, check all the textbook, the internet, you cannot find. Maybe you can try, type in Google Trinity to understand cultivation. Maybe this chart will come out. But if this chart come out, then you know it comes from us. It's not from somebody else. But this understanding is not easy. Very few people can have the understanding. And very few people can really teach you what this thing is. Okay, we shall continue. So we go to 6.1. So appendix 6A, the triangle is very beautiful, the Trinity diagram. That one can help you understand in detail about the whole lot. Understanding of meditation, who are you, what are you, from your pure nature down to mundane living, and how you use that pure nature for both mundane living and the meditation, the direct seeing, the insight into phenomena and the awakening. So the silent observation of what is very important. Choiceless awareness. That is mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Okay, 6.1. We need to understand what is a trained mind. If you have trained your mind, you will have all these characteristics. Your mind will be very different. You can check against this list. Then you know whether you have trained your mind or not. The first unique characteristics of a trained mind is a trained mind is always silent. Are you able to be silent without thought? Heedful means ever mindful, constantly meditative. Peaceful, of course, is very natural. Then relax. And naturally aware within, the word is naturally aware. You don't try to discipline the awareness. Try to be aware. That is not awareness. That's why that one is the thought trying to be aware. So it's a discipline type of function, which is not awareness. Awareness means without thought, you're already aware, naturally aware within. So to check is very easy. If your mind is trained, you are always silent, aware, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within. Then it has the clarity, born of inner peace and inner awareness. Then you have the ability to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom, leading to insight, awakening, and understanding, needed to arise the yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, so that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. So if you don't have yoniso manasikara, means you have not developed the wisdom yet. So if you have trained your mind properly and developed the initial wisdom, then you can be at peace with the moment to live life all the time. And that is most beautiful. Then the third characteristic is it will listen to you. Means you want the mind to be silent, relaxed, aware, and meditate. It will just do that. Then you want the mind to arise, to explain things, to know things, to live life, or to share something. You can just do it. So the third characteristic is very important. It will listen to you. If you want to be silent, it will just be silent, peaceful, and aware. It will just do that. So if you want to arise the thought, if you want to experience something, live life, experience the nature, then share whatever you want to share. And all this become possible because the mind is trained. It will listen to you. It will obey you. Then the fourth unique characteristic is you can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate noble eightfold path leading to heedfulness. This is the characteristics of a trained mind. When you have the ability to be heedful, aware, then you can direct it and use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. Especially after you contemplate, reflect, you have right view, then you can actually arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort become automatic, very easy. Then of course the right sati and samadhi also will take its course. Then the next characteristic is it will become like a servant to you. It will serve you well. And this is very true. The trained mind is so beautiful, it's always heedful. A heedful living is so beautiful. Against heedless living. Then the next one is a trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative. Hence, it is the base from which wisdom will keep on arising. That's what heedfulness is all about. Then the opposite is an untrained mind. You want to know what is an untrained mind? I think very easy. You just check your mind state. If you have all this, then you better be careful. Forget about meditation. You haven't really started the training of the mind. If you have not trained how to develop the meditation, you need to train the mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be mindful, to realize your pure nature within, the awareness nature. So an untrained mind is heedless. Heedless means what? It thinks a lot. And it reacts easily to sense experience and is constantly lost in thought most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. So this one is very clear. So if you check and you are still heedless and you think a lot and you react easily to sense experience and you are constantly heedlessly lost in thought most of the time, then you don't stand a chance as far as the spiritual life or enlightenment is concerned. Because according to Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. You don't stand a chance. You may be conscious of life living, but you are spiritually dead. Then the next characteristic is the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop and it will make you very evil. You know what is a devil? An evil being. So a devil's workshop means it takes over your mind and do havoc with you. That's why it will make you very evil. Then the third characteristic is you have no control over that mind. It actually controls you and take over your life, causing you suffering without you understanding or realizing what is going on. Then the next characteristic is the thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. If you don't understand this, you cannot come out of it. The vicious cycle will trap you. Then the next understanding is deluded with wrong view, it easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence the suffering. So this is a very easy check. So deluded with wrong view, that's why you get angry. You become selfish, you have a lot of envy, jealousy. Then emotional negativity and fear. So all this is the characteristics of a deluded mind with wrong view and untrained mind. Then lastly, it has no understanding of what is going on in life because it lacks wisdom. And the reason why it lacks wisdom is because it is deluded. It don't have the spiritual faculty. That's why the opposite mental hindrance take over. Continuously hinders you from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot realize the true mind. You cannot meditate. Then when that happens, it creates habitual thinking, habitual tendency, reaction to sense experience. Then because of the five mental hindrance, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So these are all the important understanding. So if you know your mind is yet to be trained, then you have to train it. And how to train it? 6.3 will teach you. Training the mind. Without wisdom, living beings are heedless. Hence, they suffer because they don't understand life. So this is the first fundamental understanding before you start training your mind. So what you need is wisdom and understanding. To understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which is the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. The Four Noble Truths, very important. Then to understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful, to understand what is going on in life, so as to understand who we are, what we are, and how our mind functions, so that we understand what causes the suffering and how our deluded mundane mind get muddled up in life. This is meditation. That's why training the mind to be heedful is very important. The untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful because of the five mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. These mental hindrance will hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace with inner awareness. And to overcome the five mental hindrances, one only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. And they are Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, as taught by the Buddha. So this is very important, cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. When the five spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will be gone. And the mind will be trained automatically. So without the five mental hindrance, the spiritual faculties take over. Once the spiritual faculty develop, the hindrance is to be. That's why your mind is automatically trained. That's the reason why you should work on the cultivation of the five spiritual faculty via your puja or devotional practices and daily religious routine, including contemplation, reflection, and other things, and inquiry. Then after that, you have to follow the three phases of Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. They are Pariyati, Patipati, and Pariveda. Pariyati is the first phase. Pariyati is the learning of the teaching or the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, and this is very important. You must learn it either through constantly listening to the Dhamma, the true Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. That's why listening, then having Dhamma friends, and after that develop the faith, and then develop the what they call initial wisdom. When you reflect and contemplate, you actually stabilize your understanding. So from first turning, you develop the initial understanding, and when you reflect and contemplate under the second turning plus inquiry, you stabilize your understanding. That's how the learning develops. So when you have developed the ability to understand what this thing is, then you can move on to the second phase of Dhamma. After you have understood what the teaching is, as per our notes discussion and what I have shared with you, then you can put this teaching into practice. So phase two of Dhamma is called Patipati. Patipati is the cultivation. We are putting the Dhamma that you have learned into daily practice or cultivation in daily life so that it can become a living reality for you to use it. So this second phase is very important. That involves Bhavanamaya Panya, that pertaining. So you have to really meditate, train your mind to be aware, silent, and stabilize it to be ever mindful, and use it to cultivate noble eightfold path to meditate. Then after that, you will get to leave the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. Pativeda is reaping the fruit of one's hard work of cultivation. Then you can get to live the life of enlightened beings. So this will cover all the teaching that we need to know. Then the next section is on the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. This one we will leave it for next session. It is still a very big topic. Three turning of the Four Noble Truths is a very big topic. So we will continue later. Okay, we stop here. Okay, so almost 10 o'clock, 21:59, one more minute to 10 o'clock. So we can stop here, the sharing, and let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And today's teaching is very important on how to train your mind. And what is a trained mind and what is an untrained mind. And how to develop the totality or understanding of meditation and mind through the Trinity diagram, which is very important. You have the pure nature of the sea, pure consciousness, or pure awareness nature, oneness nature. And on the right hand side is mundane living developed through your senses. Then on the left hand side is direct seeing meditation to develop the wisdom or the understanding, the right view, to straighten your view and to awaken. And use that understanding which is connected to the form and mind to truly live life, to live the noble life or enlightened being. That is supramundane living. Okay, so with that, maybe we will open up for Q&A, question and answer or reporting of meditation, and also whatever sharing that you want to share regarding Dhamma in daily life.
No, I want to share something to you.
Good. Okay.
Just now I was at a friend's place, and so this friend's friend, my friend's friend, has another friend that the husband just died of a heart attack. So which means that my friend is A, A's friend is B, the B's friend is C. So C's husband had a heart attack.
Died.
So age about 60 plus lah. So now this C is depressed. So the A is trying to help lah, and then say, hey, Xuan, can you help this?
Yeah, you should be able to help.
I was just reflecting on this point. Basically, if you have understood what the Buddha's Buddha Dhamma is about, I think it should be quite easy for us to explain lah.
Yes.
So maybe I just want to treat this as a discussion.
Discussion topic. Very good.
See who would want to give advice to this what to do with the
very good.
The husband passed away, she's depressed. Now it has been a couple of months, the husband passed away, what am I gonna do?
So that will be a very good suggestion and topic to this.
Yes, good afternoon. Good evening, Brother Teo and
good evening, yes.
What would be your advice for this CE that the husband passed away and she's depressed?
Well, we are practitioner, we understand about OH, sickness and death. So I would advise her to life's gonna carry on, like myself, always controlled by my husband. The husband is not around, she can really concentrate full time in the Dhamma, follow the Buddha Dhamma, then change her life, slowly turn the house into like a cookie, She can do what she wants and concentrate on cultivation. I would advise her to do that, because it's the best way, in a human life, things, anything can happen, So since such a thing happened, it's quite a shock in the family, but just that, still got to live on, looking on the bright side, and then carry on with life, and be happy on her own.
Yeah, thank you so much, Karen. Don't worry. Whatever advice is based on your understanding, which is not bad. Because as a start, I think this is good. But later on, we also want to know what did Suyan advise her. Yeah, for me, normally in such cases, not many people can handle such situation. It's not easy. So normally I will find out, is she a Buddhist? That is more important. Or she is just a traditional Chinese Buddhist. Then easier to like explain to her, and calm her down. Because I actually went to quite a number of these, and people seek my advice. And two of them are my sisters. Very funny, our whole family, we got 9 brothers and sisters, but I only got 3 sisters, one of them not married, 2 married. But both married, somehow the karmic is such, their husband passed away very early. Very early, I think before the age of 60. So it's really traumatic for the younger sister. She almost, I think the word depression is too mild. she almost like completely lost control and very emotional, just refused to eat everything and just want to die. Then the doctor told my elder brother, where he was in Alistair, the doctor said, I'm not so much worried about your brother-in-law because he's in the ICU, sooner or later he will go. But the rate your sister is doing all those things to torture herself that way, refuse to go and sleep and rest, no. Very, very like devastated like that, no. So the doctor said, you better go and talk to your sister and calm her down and do something to her. And I flew back and I helped her. Then what we need to tell this type of people is, at that time, they are not in the mood to listen to Dhamma. Forgive me for saying that. Unless they are Buddhists, they're easy. Who has some form of Dhamma background, they're easy. For most of these people, their loved one is gone and they are devastated. But for my sister-in-law, the youngest one, she is not working. The husband used to be from a wealthy family, the eldest son, and supposed to have a very good life the first 10 over years. Then suddenly this thing happened. He got a stroke, heart attack. And before that, of course, there is some other problem, business, casualty, failure and all those things. I think he got cheated by somebody. So all this accumulated and become what it is. Then my sister couldn't take it because she got 4 children at that time and they were all still very young, very young. And without a job, without the husband, she really like devastated, didn't know what to do. So what I did was I told my brother, tell him don't worry. Whatever happened, we will support her and I will come down and talk to her. And I'm on the way down. I took a flight. And when I reached there, I immediately went and see her, talked to her and held her hand and said, please do understand. This is a reality. Every family, there will be occasion for such thing. Miss, death is a reality, a certainty. It do happen. And many cases, if they are lucky and fortunate, they die of old age, sickness and all those things. But some, like your husband's case, is because of unfortunate incident that accumulated all this. Then later on, I explained to her, I say, no matter what you do, if you want to remain sad, devastated and all those things, that is your way. Maybe now you believe this is what you want to do. But is this going to help you? It's not going to help you. It's going to make you miserable. Then the most important thing is, I say, out of love and compassion for yourself and your children, I say, and also your family members, you must be strong. You must hold up. You must have faith. And you must not project your thought and develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, my state that tell her you are gone, you are dead. Everything is like the end of the world for you because you cannot handle. This is beyond you. But then I told her, no, don't worry. if you really understand, I can help you. I said, we have brothers and sisters. I said, we together, 9 of us, minus her is 8 of us. We have the capacity, understanding, and the financial to help her through. I say, you don't worry. Whatever happened, have faith. I say, love yourself, love your children, and do whatever you can for them. And we will assist you in whatever way. So don't worry about money, the first thing I tell her. I say, have faith. Then life is a lot more than that. Life continues even after what happened. Sometimes it can be a blessing in disguise. What happened? I say, if this thing doesn't happen, it will not move you. It will not cause you to think deeply about life, and it will not actually let you have the opportunity to develop new understanding. And I say, you are capable, because our family, the gene is very good and we have good karma. So I told her, the time has come for your husband to leave you all because of certain causes and conditions. But you don't worry, because what happened is a reality. It happened already. You can't change. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can calm you down and make you better. You must have the clarity and the understanding to understand that you have to move on. Out of love for yourself and your children, you have to be strong. Then we will do everything we can to help you. At that time, she was actually staying with the in-law. Then the in-law also got many children. Then my brother-in-law also got a few brothers and sisters. Then some of them are staying with her. Then it seems before that thing happened, they already have some sort form of like unhappiness about my sister-in-law. They are staying there. So a lot of these things created a lot of stress and tension and fear and worry. That's why she was like devastated. But when I spoke to her in this way, and I gather my brothers and sisters to say, immediately we will help you to look after the funeral thing and all those things. Then after that, we will sort other things out one by one. And your children, you don't worry. Even they chase you out, no place to stay, we will get you a place. So we did all those things and we calmed her down. Then later on, we help her to start her business. Very simple Samaram business. Then she did so well. She became very happy later on. And she was able to actually turn around beautifully, look after the children. And one of the children, very hardworking, helped her a lot. Then the elder son also later on graduated and become very responsible and a real fellow son. Then later on also get married. Then she later on, later years when she was about to have the good life, she even brought the son to see me and asked me to open an account, share trading account for him and all those things, and to prepare his future, which she did as a mother very good. And many things happened. And all the children also, they grew up well. Then that new year, every new year after that, in fact, I make sure I have a big ang pao for her and her family. Then I think she felt very assured and confident. Then we have my brother, got one brother is medical shop. So we supported her by supplying things or goods for her to sell during festival and Pasar Malam. And we also support her in the form of financing to buy whatever she need to actually sell. And he has a very good friend who is in this trade, teach her how to do the Pasar Malam business, and she learned the trade. And she became very, very diligent, hardworking. And the joy came back. within 1 or 1.5 months, she settled down, and she was so grateful for all the support and the help. So these are ways that we can do and calm them down. Then later on, only I teach her the teaching and how to stay. And of course, emphasize on donation, doing good, wholesomeness and all things. Then later on, teach her about the essential Dhamma of understanding life. Then I told her, now you believe, without your husband, not only you can make it, your life become more meaningful, where you really earn money from your hard-earned sweat for your family, for your children, and they like appreciate and have a lot of gratitude towards her, and their family unit become like closer, and all the children become like suddenly mature and new. They have to really help out to bring up the family again and support the mother in whatever way. So this is how living beings can be motivated. Once they have this understanding, they become calm, peaceful. They will not project their thought to develop the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Because these are noble truths taught by the Buddha. No amount of sorrow and lamentation or fear, worry, anxiety can help you or solve your problem. If you want to live the good life, you have to take care of life. You have to understand life. Then you have to live life and become beautiful. Do your duty. And there are so much more to life. That's why later on she realized when she make it, she was able to every now and then contact me and discuss things. Then he said if she wants to buy a property, a house. I said, yeah, you should. Then I told her, you don't worry. Your husband sure have EPF, life insurance and all those things. So when we work all those things out and teach her how to go and do the claim and all those things, it helped her develop the faith and the understanding and the confidence. Then the children also help out and all those things. So these are one of the good ways you can actually do it if it's your family member. If it's not your family member, then like I said, ask her whether you are Buddhist or not. If it's other religion, then it's better not to talk about religion. Talk about life. Talk about what needs to be done. And the family members, if can, get them together and tell the children, now your husband, your dad is gone. Your family is without your dad. So you have to really strengthen your resolution to continue with the good life. Then you must support your mom. You must do everything you can to come together as a family unit to see things through. In fact, many of my other classmates also, all of a sudden their dad passed away. Well, at our age, now I'm 66 plus 67. Many of them actually passed away already. I think about a university classmate, almost near to about 5 or 6% already, no more. We have about 210 engineering students. I think easily more than 10 already departed. So not easy, but most of them, their children big already, graduated, working, so no problem. So they take over very, very easily. So all these are the possible way of helping people in such situation. So hopefully you all can learn from all this. Okay, now I will go back to Karen and Sia. So with this understanding, do you have any personal experience of helping somebody who has gone through this? Maybe Suyan first. Suyan, yes.
I was trying to encourage A to do the counseling for C. A is one of our karmita, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I was just trying to guide her and say that, well, you go to Brother Teo, he'll certainly explain the personal virtue, birth, OA, sickness, death, and all that. I mean, those are the realities of life. You can't run away from it.
That one is very important. Yeah. The other one is for people to understand. But the immediate one is the one that is missing most of the time. That's the immediate one. Like last time, I remember I told my wife, she got a colleague. The husband suddenly passed away, heart attack, same, 64 years old. And the husband was doing very well. Then she said, we should go to the wake and maybe help the colleague, very close friend. But when I went there, when I saw her condition, I told my wife, not now. There is no condition because we are not related to them. And their family members, I don't know any of them. I only know the husband and herself. Even the children, we don't know. So based on the sadness, the sorrow, the devastated mind state, I think that one was quite similar to my sister-in-law. So I say, there is no way you can talk to her. She will not listen. Then I told my wife, monitor her. And she settled down and ready to come out for dinner or lunch or yam cha. That is the time I can help her. And it really happened. Yeah. And it turned around beautifully. So this topic that Suyan brought out is very good. There is an immediate need for understanding, which may not be the Buddhist understanding, to help solve people's problem. That one I realize is very important. Then from my experience, based on that, my wife colleague, he told me, he said, Brother Theo, but later on after she recovered, came and see me. I just talked to her for 3 months, I think. She recovered casually, like every time go for lunch, dinner. Then that time, when there's condition, she also came into the Dhamma. Then she understood the Dhamma. Then in her own words, you know what she told me. This feedback is very good. You all can learn. She told me, Brother Teo, no need to explain suffering to me. When she was going through that phase, almost 1 year, she was in depression, see psychiatrists and all those things, so sad and sorrowful. And he said that type of suffering and misery, nobody can understand unless you go through it. Yeah. Then she told me, he said, how not to suffer? He said, immediately when that thing happened, the thought starts to project the fear, the worry, the anxiety. How can she leave me, a lady, a housewife, alone, and just gone like that? What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of the family and the business and all those things? I don't know what is going on. So that fear, that panic, and all those things, and many other related things. Then she told me, everything that they do together with the husband, when she is at home, in her house, in her room, everything that is on the poster within the house that she saw remind her of her past relationship with her husband and how they together travel, have the good life, buy all those things, share all those things, the post, everything. And every of these memories, wrong talk, brings about a lot of suffering, misery. That's why she went into depression until she has to leave the house and went to live with the children overseas and all those things. And later on, when she more stable already, Then she came back, she also good karma, call my wife up. Then after that, my wife told me she's on the lunch. I said, ask her out for lunch. Then that's how it started. Then within 2-3 months, she recovered. And she told me in her own words, she said, through talking to me, she learned more from going to the temple where she Mandarin educated. So she go to the Mahayana side. But through talking to me, she learned more about the Dhamma. Then later on, she full of gratitude. She was very grateful for having the condition, blessing in this guy. This thing turned around and let her learn the teaching and the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, which is priceless, she said. And she is now a lot more happy than before. So all this can be done. So what Sri An did was also good. The friend is one of our Kayamita. So like he always heard those who wants to go clear themselves of all this suffering and misery when they come. I normally zero in on the first noble truth reality. But before I go in, I find out first. And I solve problem through understanding everyone is different. Every condition is different. So my approach is different. I will ask questions first. Then I will tell them what I heard may not be the full representative understanding of the actual situation. Now that you are here, it will be nice if you can share in whatever way you want. And what is it that you want to understand? Because my message is very simple. I can help people who go through this because I have a lot of experience and understanding. And I can help you understand things. And when you understand, you will know what to do and you will recover beautifully. And strangely, everyone turned around for such cases. Especially somebody died and all that thing, or other type of first noble truth reality. And they become very grateful. And they have faith in me after talking to me. Very strange. I also don't know why. So all this, as Kayamita, as you develop good understanding of your own form and mind, the Dhamma, the teaching, you can also have the ability to do it. You can also share all this and be a blessing to all. But initially, as you start doing it, you have to learn, of course, everything starts from somewhere. Then as you gain momentum, experience, and understanding, you become more and more adept to it, and you become more and more good at it. Then you can really help people, make a difference to people's life. And this good way of actually helping fellow living beings. That's why the Buddha Dhamma is very important, very beautiful. The teaching is really excellent. Oh, 10:30 already. Okay, I think I can stop here. And Sri An, you got any more to add or continue?
No, they are. I just want to give an extension of the first noble truth. And I was just quickly explaining to this A that because the C doesn't have any Buddha Dhamma background, so a bit difficult to explain. So I told her that if, for example, you're washing clothes and today is Sunday, it's your only day off, you wash and then suddenly heavy rain. Then of course you get angry. I go, ayo, I can edit the wing or see sun, low to a hoi, tea kong, bo kong ping. Tomorrow I cannot go to work because I got no clothes. Yeah. What are you going to do? Then you cannot, you sit there cursing the God. It's not going to work. Eh? Yeah. Well, you should just accept it as it is. And then you ask, what can I do about it?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, I could go to the self service laundrette. Throw everything inside, 5 ringgit later, 1 hour later, all the clothes dry already.
Yeah.
Because the moment you accept, then you start asking, what can I do, right? But if you don't accept, then you say, oh no, why is it so unfair? Why my husband passed away? Why did it rain? Why my clothes cannot dry?
Very good.
Why is not going to solve the problem?
Yeah, focus on solving problems. Yeah. This is very good.
Accept and then ask, what can I do? Which is what Brother Teo most of the time encourages.
Yeah.
And then the answer will come.
Yeah.
Answer will come.
How can I move on?
Yeah.
To resolve all this amicably, so that they can turn around and gain back their good life. So these are the very beautiful ways the Dhamma that can be applied. Very good, Suya Sadhu. Then Karen, Karen, you got anything to say? You can wrap it up.
Yes, actually, my life, in a way, all my friends, even though they lost their husband, they can manage themselves very well.
And also, very good. Now, how they do it, you can share. Yeah.
Because funny, they are financially stable. You know, like my sister also lost her husband when she was 38. My elder sister. Then she got only one daughter, and she got a job now. She's a nurse.
Such cases is easier. Such cases is easier.
But in case they were to ask me, I think I got a lot of ideas. Also, you know, and also thank you so much. I mean, both of your sharing also is almost sort of ideas system.
Yeah. That's why you realize by going through life, by receiving all this experience, you can actually develop more idea and understanding to help people. Well, every situation is different. Yeah. Then from all this, you can innovate and become better as you go along. So initially, like what you mentioned just now, it's also good enough. Look at the bright side of things. Life is more than there. But the immediate need, that fear, that anxiety, that sorrow, that lamentation, you must help them to actually, mitigate that first. That mitigation factor is very important. The moment they do not panic, fear, worry, and having all this negativity of mind state, then they can turn around, they can listen. They are more willing to listen. That's why people who face this situation, the first thing that affects them is always the fear, the uncertainty, the sorrow, the lamentation, the misery. They will project their thought. And deep inside, if you have the Dhamma, you can sense it. You can sense their very deep negativity of mind states, and all these are very detrimental. They are fear, negative fear, that negative energy, that phobia, that intense uncertainty of mind, and they don't know what to do. All this you need to help mitigate. You need somebody whom they can trust or close to them to talk to them nicely. That this is very common. You are not the only one in the world that face it. The world has witnessed a lot of this, and everybody who understands turn around beautifully. So I believe you can also turn around. And this is one of the good ways. Then we look at things one by one, and we can help you resolve it. So if the family member, the friends or whatever, really, they can come up with good solution, and they can be really helpful. So all these are possible ways. Thank you so much, Karen, Suya. So let us.
Thank you, Brother Suyan.
Yeah, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu.